This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from the Radio Cab Foundation, presenting its second annual benefit golf tournament, Saturday, July 8th, 9:30 a.m. at Heron Lakes Golf Course. Proceeds go to assist hospitalized children and disadvantaged families in the metro area. Registration and prize information at radiocabcares.org.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
Well, as we enter a new hurricane season, we're turning natural disasters into human catastrophes by our failure to deal with issues like climate, like loss of wetlands and coastal sprawl. I think we know what the solutions are, but we're going to need a seaweed rebellion, a marine grassroots movement, really to turn things around.
Environmental author David Helvarg on hurricanes, coastal development, and Category 5 foolishness. Then we'll speak with Salma Yaqub. She's in from Britain, the first Muslim woman wearing a hijab elected to the city council in Birmingham. And she's head of the Stop the War coalition there.
Well, we're now into the third year of this war, and we've had lots of talk about democracy in the Middle East, but I think we really need a debate about democracy in America and in Britain. How is it that our governments can take our countries to war against the wishes of the majority of the people? And as a British Muslim, I think we have an important contribution to make in that debate.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Los Angeles Times is reporting the Pentagon has decided to make it official policy to ignore a key tenet of the Geneva Convention that explicitly bans humiliating and degrading treatment of detainees. According to the paper, the Pentagon's new Army Field Manual on Interrogation marks a further and potentially permanent shift away from strict adherence to international human rights standards. For decades, it's been the official policy of the U.S. military to follow the minimum standards for treating all detainees as laid out in the Geneva Convention. But in 2002, Bush suspended portions of the convention for accused members of Al-Qaeda and Taliban. Critics said the Pentagon's latest decision would violate a broadly supported anti-torture measure advanced by Senator John McCain to ban torture and cruel treatment. The Los Angeles Times reports the move to officially ignore parts of the Geneva Convention was supported by Vice President Dick Cheney's office and by the Pentagon's intelligence arm. Sources said Cheney's Chief of Staff David Addington and Stephen Cambone, the Defense Undersecretary for Intelligence, claim the Geneva Conventions restrict the United States' ability to question detainees. The Pentagon's decision to officially ignore parts of the Geneva Conventions comes at a time that the military's actions in Iraq are coming under increasing scrutiny. Over the weekend, top officials in Iraq demanded the U.S. do more to investigate two different alleged massacres at the hands of U.S. troops, the killing of 24 civilians in Haditha last November and the killing of 13 in the town of Ashaki outside Balad in March. On Saturday, Major General William Caldwell announced the Pentagon had cleared U.S. troops of any wrongdoing in the killings in Ashaki.
In response to claims that as many as 13 civilians were killed in a March 15th airstrike in the vicinity of Ashaki, an investigation was launched into that incident the very next day. The investigation revealed the ground force commander, while capturing and killing terrorists at that location, operated in accordance with the rules of engagement governing our combat forces in Iraq.
However, the Iraqi government has rejected the Pentagon's findings. On Saturday, an aide to Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki said the Iraqi government would open its own investigation into the deaths of Iraqi civilians in Ashaki. The Iraqi human rights minister said a commission will be sent to the town to investigate the deaths in the next few days. Relatives of the Iraqi family killed in Ashaki accused the U.S. of slaughtering innocent civilians. This is Ibrahim Arad Khalaf.
The U.S. forces raided my brother's house on March 15th. They started shooting into the air before entering the house. This process lasted for about 20 minutes, and after that, they entered the house and started shooting inside it. They gathered all of the family members inside one room and executed all of them.
Meanwhile, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld has defended the training and conduct of U.S. troops and said incidents such as the massacre of Iraqi civilians at Haditha are anomalies.
We know that 99.9% of our forces conduct themselves in an exemplary manner. And we also know that in conflicts, things that shouldn't happen do happen.
However, the wife of one of the staff sergeants involved in the Haditha killings has told Newsweek that there was a total breakdown in discipline, including drug and alcohol abuse within the Marine unit. She said, quote, "I think it's more than possible that these guys were totally tweaked out on speed or something when they shot those civilians in Haditha." The Los Angeles Times is reporting government records show that more Baghdad residents died in shootings, stabbings, and other violence in May than in any other month since the U.S.-led invasion in 2003. Just under 1,400 bodies were brought to the city's central morgue during the month. The actual number of people killed in Baghdad was even higher because the count doesn't include soldiers or civilian victims of explosions. This past weekend saw another surge in violent killings. North of Baghdad, masked gunmen assassinated 21 students, reportedly all Shia, who were stopped at a fake checkpoint. In Basra, a suicide car bomber killed 32 people and wounded 77. The attack came just days after the Iraqi government declared a state of emergency in the southern city. In Baghdad, officials discovered 22 bodies that had been burned, blindfolded, handcuffed, and thrown into a river. Earlier today, gunmen wearing police uniforms raided bus stations in central Baghdad, abducting at least 50 people. Meanwhile, the new Iraqi government has failed once again in agreeing to who will head key security ministries. And in other news from Iraq, an Iraqi man has been jailed for life after being found guilty of involvement in the kidnapping and murder of aid worker Margaret Hassan. In Peru, Alan Garcia has defeated Ollanta Humala to become Peru's next president. Garcia served as president from 1985 to 1990. He won about 55% of the vote. In 1990, Garcia left office in disgrace with Peru nearly bankrupt. His administration was widely accused of corruption. On Sunday, Garcia claimed his victory was a blow to Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, who'd publicly supported Humala's candidacy. In Bolivia, President Evo Morales has introduced a sweeping new land reform program to give farmland to poor indigenous communities. On Saturday, he handed over 10,000 square miles of state-owned property. More land, including unused private property, is expected to be turned over as part of what Morales called an agrarian revolution. Morales has defended the plan despite protests from the business community.
Some businessmen are trying to subdue us, but I ask myself, they, their grandparents, have subjugated our lands for more than 500 years, and these lands have to return to the hand of the absolute owners of this noble land. Who are the Quechuas, the Aymaras, Mojenos, Chipayas, Chiquitanos?
In Canada, 12 men and 5 youths have been rounded up in what's been described as one of the largest anti-terrorism operations ever undertaken in North America. More than 400 police officers took part in a series of raids Saturday. The men have been accused of planning to carry out attacks in southern Ontario with bombs made from the fertilizer ammonium nitrate. It's unclear how much of the plot was actually a government sting operation. According to the Toronto Star, it was the Royal Canadian Mounted Police itself that delivered 3 tons of the potential bomb-making material to the group. Once the material was delivered, officials moved in and made the arrests of the men and teens. A major United Nations conference on AIDS called on the international community to raise as much as $23 billion a year in order to be able to ensure universal access to prevention, treatment, and care by 2010. The summit's final declaration called on countries to commit to a wide range of prevention strategies, including abstinence, fidelity, condom use, and clean needles. While the United Nations declared the summit a success, a group of AIDS organizations criticized criticized the international body for not doing enough. The group Action Aid International said in a statement, quote, "We are furious. Vulnerable groups such as intravenous drug users, sex workers, and men who have sex with men have been made invisible in this document." Meanwhile, it was 25 years ago today, June 5th, 1981, when a California doctor named Michael Gottlieb published a brief report about the first diagnosis of the HIV virus. Since then, 25 million people have died of AIDS. An average of 8,000 continue to die each day. This is Dr. Michael Gottlieb.
In the first few years after I reported my cases of AIDS, I felt like the people on the rooftops during Katrina, waving, shouting, screaming, begging for help, and it didn't come. And when it came eventually, it came with all these strings attached. You must have abstinence instead of condoms. You don't get enough medication to treat the people you need to treat who are indigent. Our government has had a colossal failure in responding to the AIDS epidemic.
Dr. Michael Gottlieb. There has been a major development in the case of Wen Houli, the U.S. nuclear scientist of Chinese descent who was falsely accused by the Clinton administration for spying for the Chinese government. The government has agreed to pay Li nearly $900,000 for violating his right to privacy by leaking information to the press. In addition, five major news organizations have agreed to pay Wen Houli $750,000 to settle a lawsuit in order to avoid identifying who within the government leaked information that falsely implicated Wen Houli. When the case first broke, the press used anonymous sources to portray the case as one of the most serious spy scandals in U.S. history. In April 1999, the New York Times opened an article about Wen Houli like this, quote, "Scientists suspected of spying for China improperly transferred huge amounts of secret data from a computer system at a government laboratory, compromising virtually every nuclear weapon in the United States arsenal," government and lab officials say, unquote. 8 months later, Wen Houli was indicted on 59 counts, but none of them were for spying. He was held in solitary confinement and threatened with execution. But within a year, the U.S. government dropped 58 of 59 charges. After Wen Houli had endured 278 days of solitary confinement, a federal judge named James Parker released him from the New Mexico prison. And in an unusual statement from the bench, the judge rebuked the government and apologized to Wen Houli. In news from Washington, President Bush is urging Congress to approve a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage. The move comes nearly exactly 6 months before the midterm elections. On Saturday, Bush dedicated his entire weekly radio address to the issue. He never mentioned the war in Iraq once. The Senate is expected to begin debate on same-sex marriage this week. Senate Majority Leader Dr. Bill Frist recently argued that banning gay marriage and flag burning are two of the nation's most pressing priorities. Simultaneous protests were held Saturday in the Israeli city of Tel Aviv and the Palestinian city of Ramallah, calling for an end to the Israeli occupation of the West Bank and Gaza that began 39 years ago. In Ramallah, demonstrators called for an end to the blockade on the Palestinian people. The Tel Aviv protest was organized by a series of Jewish peace and student groups. This is an Israeli student organizer named Rami.
Yes, we have a similar sister demonstration in Ramallah right now going on, with thousands of people marching there with the same message of peace, that we can cooperate, we can work together, we can destroy the occupation together, destroy the racism, and do something together.
In media news, the leading journalists union in Britain and Ireland have called on their 40,000 members to boycott the internet company Yahoo. The union criticized the company for helping the Chinese government identify and prosecute pro-democracy journalists and dissidents. The union said it would stop using all Yahoo-operated services, including the popular search engine. The American Bar Association Board of Governors has voted unanimously to investigate whether President Bush is violating the Constitution by signing statements to bypass new laws. The Boston Globe recently said President